But my girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Queremos.
Hello there, my name is Aaron Moss, and this is the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, presented by Head Speaks. This is an hour-long podcast where we'll talk about the Will Payton Starman comic and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comic from the late 80s, early 90s. We'll talk about every appearance of these two great characters. If you've never read them or haven't read them in a while, this may be a good time to explore these issues. Now, let's get started with our first comic.
John Jones of Mars. Kamatui of Gorgar. Ronnie Raymond of Earth. Al Bratt of Earth. Jenny Lynn Naden. Arthur Curry. Carter Hall. Kendra Saunders. Ted Gord. Arani Desai. Paco Ramon. Hank Haywood. David Knight. Erwin Bowen. Wesley Dodds. Charles McNider. Terry Sloan. Tara Markov.
Ago, a crashing wave of light erupted across the DC universe. A multicolored spectrum of energy bathed the cosmos in a war of light. Rage clashed against passion. Hope sought to stifle fear. Greed to choke out compassion. And in the middle of it all, the will to keep going and fight for all. Now this war has come to the surface of our planet, because while the light fights, the darkness rises. Hero, villain, friend, foe, family. Across the universe, the dead have risen, and it's going to take every available podcaster to fight back. In 2016, we covered the dawn of the Justice League with Justice League Year One. In 2017, we soaked in the seminal Justice. Last year, we threw it back to the Silver Age. But this year's JLMA podcast event covers an event that knows not the boundaries of death itself. J.L. May covers Blackest Night in celebration of the event's 10-year anniversary. Our coverage begins on April 30th with the podcast of Oa and proceeds through the entire month of May with Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill, The Idlehead of Diablo, The Fire and Water Podcast, Head Speaks, Coffee and Comics Podcast, Long Box Crusade, Waiting for Doom, Task Force X, The Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, The Dr. DC Podcast, The Birds of Prey Podcast, Justice's First Dawn, and ends with the Lantern Cast. So join us this May, because across the DC universe, the dead have risen. Where will you be?
Welcome back, Star Hunters, to the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, episode 25, our big 25th edition of the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour. Again,
I'm big into comics. Usually the 25th issue is a big deal. So, yay, 25. Anyways, this month is it's a special. Actually, it is a special episode. This month, we're not looking at a regular issue of Starman or Manhunter. I know we've been coming up to the end of the Manhunter series. We're going to push that back a month. We're going to push what's going on with Will and all his happenings back a month. And this month, we're looking at the Blackest Night crossover. What? What are you talking about, Aaron? Well, you see, a bunch of podcasters, usually every May, get together and do a special crossover looking at a certain JLA book. They call it JL May, for obvious reasons. They've looked at like the JLA, Just League, JLA Year One. I forget now, there's some other Just League stories over the years. This year, they're looking at the Blackest Night crossover. And I have been asked to be a part of it. So, what I want you to do is, here in just a minute, I want you to stop listening to my show for just a few minutes. Well, maybe take longer than a few minutes. But you need to listen to some other shows before you listen to mine. What it is the Blackest Night. Let's go from the beginning. The Blackest Night crossover was an 8-issue series from DC Comics, technically 9 issues, that told the rise of Necron via his agent, Blackhand. And this tells a story about how Necron tried to take over and destroy the universe, in short. So again, there was 8 issues to the series, plus a 0 issue, plus there was a bunch of side issues. This episode that I'm worth talking about right now is one of the side issues. So before you get into my show, you need to go out and listen to a couple of other shows. So first, there was Blackest Night number 0. That's being hosted by the podcast Avoa. So go look for the podcast Avoa and check out their show. Then from there, you want to go over to Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill, because they're looking at Blackest Night number 1. Once you're done with that, go over to the Idle Head of Diablo, and he's going to be looking at Blackest Night issue number 2. He's also going to look at the Green Lantern issue 44, and before that, the podcast of Oa is going to look at Green Lantern 43. And then once you're done Idle Head of Diablo, look for the Fire and Water podcast. They are doing Blackest Night number 3. Now, once you're done with those 4 episodes or those 4 podcasts, go over to my show, The Task Force X, here on the Headcast Network. And over there, I looked at the Suicide Squad 67 and Secret Six issues 17 and 18. Now, once you're done with all that, come back over here to the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, and you can check out the Starman, I think it's issue 81. Which we're going to talk about. And then for the rest of the books, we're going to go and take a break on that, and I'll talk about those a bit later. So, go ahead. I'll give you guys a couple hours. Go over and listen to the podcast of Oa, Chris and Reggie, Cosmic Treadmill, Idle Head Diablo, the Water Fire and Water Podcast, Task Force X. Get all those shows to listen to, then come back here. We'll wait for you. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed those podcasts. I'm glad you caught up. Now, let's get on to today's episode. Today, we're only looking at one issue. That'd be Starman number 81, with a cover date of March 2010, but the on-sale date was January the 20th of 2010. The cover price was $2.99. The title of this issue is called Blackest Night Starman. Writer was James Robinson. Penciler, Fernando Dagnino. Inker, Bill Sienkiewicz. Letterer, John J. Hill. Colorist was Matthew Hollingsworth. Editor, Will Moss. I don't know if there's any relation there between us or not. Cover artist was Tony Harris. And this was reprinted in The Blackest Night, Rise of the Black Lanterns hardcover, which came out in 2010. The Starman Omnibus, Volume 6, Hardcover, which came out in 2011, and Blackest Night, Rise of the Black Lanterns, trade paperback from 2011. The synopsis. The issue starts out with David Knight, a.k.a. Starman, falling off a building and then rising as a Black Lantern. Zombie Starman attacks some guards at the Starman Museum, then moves on to continue the carnage. Meanwhile, Hope O'Dare and the ex-villain known as the Mist are having a conversation about the relationship after a night of coitus. A short time later, Hope shows up in time to save her brother, Mason, from the zombified Starman, who is then in turn saved by the Mist. After some talking and a brief fight, ex-Starman rips the Mist's heart out. When a Black Lantern comes for Mist, it stops and flies away as the man stands up alive and well. Meanwhile, his heart starts growing tendrils and enveloping the Black Lantern, banishing him to a shadow dimension, leaving Hope and the Mist to continue discussing their relationship. That's the story. Let's go and move on to my thoughts. So, as I'm wont to do, we're going to start with the cover. We get our Blackest Night trade dress at the top, Starman with the Black Lantern symbol there to the side. And then we have the Mist with his hands glowing with power, it looks like. And below him, we see the Black Lantern Starman, as I mentioned, holding a star rod and his Black Lantern ring glowing. Overall, it's a decent cover. Again, I'm not... This is a little darker than most than the regular Starman we usually look at. I wasn't a fan of this book when it started. I just couldn't get into it. I may take another look at it when I'm done with the Will Smith book. But, so I only read a few of these issues. As a cover itself, I say it's not a bad cover. I'm not familiar with the Mist. Again, we get the Black Knight, the Blackest Knight, Starman, the zombie Starman basically flying around. It's a decent cover. I would probably give it a 3.5 or so. And again, if I was a bigger fan of this Starman, maybe I might give it a higher rating. But it is what it is. Let's move on to the story itself. So the story starts out with David Knight. David Knight, him and Jack Knight were the original Starman's sons. And Jack, I didn't read the series other than the first couple of issues, but I did read the first one. So I know that David Knight was the successor to the original Starman. And when he died, his brother, Jack, took over the role as a reluctant superhero, if you will. So we do show, and again, I'm going to have to reread that Zero issue. I think it was the Zero issue that came out of the Zero Hour. Because here we show him falling off a building, crashing. We get the memory download complete, which is what we get from the Black Lantern rings when it takes someone over. And here on the second page, we get our credits. And we have a really nice picture. It's very dark, very gloomy, very moody of David Knight rising.
David Knight of Earth, rise.
You're like, I don't know, it would make a good poster, but it's pretty close. It's very nice. I say, only reason I don't make a great poster just because it's so dark, but I don't know, it's a very nice image. Like I said, it's a full page of just David just standing there. We get the voice I just said next to it, and his white stars glowing kind of almost, and he's looking zombified. It's a very nice image. Who is that? Fernando Diagno and Bill Sienkiewicz. Can't pronounce his name. And Matt Hollingsworth and Colors. They just did a great job on this page. It's awesome. And then we move over to the next page. I don't like you got these two security guards or two cops sitting around talking. One of them refers to the film Colors. You ever see the film Colors? I think maybe. Where are you going with this? In that movie, Duvall, the Sarge old-timer, teaches Penn, the rookie, the ways of the street, the ins and the outs. Yeah, Duvall, hell of an actor. Well, I just want to imagine it'd be like with me and you. Instead, all I hear from you is, get used to it. So I do like the banter between these two cops. They've been partners for a little while, it looks like, and just them standing around talking as they're doing their patrol. I love that. That scene. It's great.
Okay, that's a plan. All right, okay. Now you want to hear mine?
Let's
full of adrenaline, man. You know, you're not in black and white anymore, chasing around Mickey Mouse crimes. Now, the plan, as I see it, is to get to know these guys, get them used to talking to us, so then when something big does come along, you want to listen to what? What? Do you want to look at or learn about this job, which is it? You heard the one about the two bulls?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, these two bulls are sitting on a grassy knoll overlooking a herd of Guernseys. And the baby bull says, hey, Pop, let's run down and one of those cows. But the papa bull says, no, son. Let's walk down. Fuck them all.
I'm assuming that's kind of the scene that one cop was referring to when he talked about colors. Great movie. Anyways, moving on to the story itself. Again, here on page, looks like 4 and 5 is the splash page. The two guards are walking through the Starman Museum. I thought Flash and Superman only went with museums. But on the second panel, as they're walking through, we do see a picture of our Starman, Will Payton. One, maybe two pictures of him. One's off on the edge. I can't make one clear picture of him. And the later, which we haven't gotten to yet, the black costume he has. So it's great seeing that at least they recognize, however briefly, the Will Payton Starman. I don't know at this point if he's supposed to be his identity's known, or if he's just known as that Starman. But anytime that Will shows up somewhere, I just love seeing that. So that's a great nod to the previous Starman. And there's also a picture here of, what's her name? Sandra Knight. Phantom Lady, I think. Not Phantom Lady. I think it's Phantom Lady. A bunch of pictures of different people. Just Side of America. There's one that looks like of Wonder Woman. Again, a bunch of Starman, since this is the Starman Museum. And as these two guards are talking, I like this. They kind of, if you're new to, if you didn't really read the Starman book at the time, they kind of recap the younger, taller guards, like, so they used to have a lot of heroes. What happened to them? And then the older cops, like, oh, they, a lot of them died. Ted Knight, of course, Black Condor, the Digbys, and they died during the Sue Dibby died during Identity Crisis. And I think Ralph died shortly after that. Then you go on to say Ted's son, the one who wasn't Jack, who was David Knight that we saw at the beginning of the book, just a page or two ago. And then he says that he died a while ago, killed by the Miss or Miss Kid some such, and then Jack Knight moved away. So it lets us know that Jack Knight, that's why he's not in the story. Spoilers for an issue I've already synopsized. Jack Knight, the current Starman, moved away. I'm not sure he gave up being Starman, but he moved away. And the guard says that leaves Bobo, who I'm not quite sure of offhand, unless he's referring to the Mist. And they're talking, and they say, you know, Dares like him. It beats me why. No, he's no hero. Apart from Bobo, all our heroes are gone. And off panel we get, well, one of them just came back. One of us just came back. And the look on the guard's face here is just pride. Like, what the heck? And, okay, I didn't go down far enough. So the one that they dares like that no one else does is the Shade. He was this villain at one time that kind of became a hero. And like in the museum, they got the Star Rod. They got the Courtney's, the Star Spangled Kid. They got the rod that she uses, the staff. A bunch of, from what I can see, there's a bus in the background. Mostly a bunch of pictures in this museum from what it looks like, from what we can see. And then here on page 5 or so, 6, I'm not sure. I'm reading it digitally, so I'm not quite sure what page number it is. It's not numbered. We get our zombie-fied Starman ripping the heart out of one of the guards. The other guy's gun. This is the younger one. The older one's got his gun pulled. And again, just a great look here for the deceased Starman, David, as he's pulling, you know, the guard's heart out. And again, he's like, although I wouldn't call me a hero now either. And like I talked about over my Task Force X episode, which I was also off this week, these zombies are different than most of your zombies. They can talk. They're not really the heroes or villains or whoever they are back to life. If I remember right, it's just the Black Lantern Ring. Well, it's bringing their corpse back, and the Black Lantern Ring itself is kind of absurding the hero, and that's why it uploads the hero's memory, so it knows. I say hero, villain, whoever they're bringing back. But again, it's just a great scene here. Below that inset here, we get the colors of the cop, because again, it looks like the Black Lanterns see things in colors. Fear, rage, will. Will is green, of course. Fear is yellow, rage is red. It matches up with the Green Lantern spectrum. And again, this cop looks like he has a lot of will, a little rage, some fear. Of course, again, he's seeing a deceased Starman back to life, end quote. So yeah, I guess that would give you a little fear. And then we get, I'm assuming that's one of the cosmic rods or star rods or whatever it is. This one looks just like a shaft or a bullet or something almost. He catches it, and then he transforms into some sort of battle axe thing, which is kind of interesting. Like I say, this whole book is darker tones, and I normally don't care for that in my superhero books, but seeing how this is based on, you know, these are basically zombies, it should be darker, so this tone kind of fits with this book. And then we go to Hope Adair, which was a cop, and the Mist, or the Shade, the Mist of some, I think I keep referring to as the Mist, the Shade, which was, like I say, the Shade was a villain at one time, now he's something more than a villain, not quite a hero, I don't think, on the border. And again, my superhero books, as I just said a minute ago, I like them in the four color glory. This one here's got a lot of shadows, a lot of heavy inks on it. This isn't my cup of tea. It's not bad. It's not that the person can't draw or color. It's just, it's a style that I'm not a huge fan of. And like I talked about, we get Hope and the Shade talking about their future. And again, Hope is a redhead, and to borrow a page from Shag's book, from what I can tell in here, she's hot. She's in the kind of shirt on. She's wearing her panties. Hey, and as they're talking about their future and what they have to look forward to, whatever, what's going to happen with them. I guess the Shade is unaging. He doesn't age like normal people do, because she's complaining that every time she looks in the mirror, she'll be a day older. But he's unchanging, immortal. And again, when she complains about how, she looks in the mirror, she's a day older, he says what any good man would say: no, my dear, you may age, but you'll never grow old. Again, anyone that's married, has a girlfriend, deals with women, would say something similar, just to keep themselves out of the doghouse. And so Hope looks out the window, and she comments how, falling in love with him as a sign of the apocalypse or something, because the sky's gone black. And then we cut over to Clarence Adair, who I'm assuming is Hope's father. Again, I'm not as familiar with this book as I could be or should be, but he's complaining about how Starman's back, and no, it's not good. And then lightning or power, maybe it's probably the... I'm assuming power from the Starman's baton or whatever strikes him, it looks like, and kills him and fries him, melts the phone, it looks like. Again, and that's one problem I don't care for darker books, is that if the ink's heavy or it's not very, a lot of darkness in it, it's kind of hard to make out what's going on. And this looks almost painted. I don't know if it is or not, but it's kind of hard to tell exactly what's going on. But yeah, it looks like he's got hit by a light of some sort. his hand's melting with the phone, and then we show him laying, looks like he's laying there dead, it looks like. Again, it's a real close-up to him, and it's the way the colors are and the way the heavy inked, it's hard to make out the face. I'm assuming it's the same man. And then we show a picture. Again, it looks like a girl there, a couple, a guy or two, cops or something. So I'm assuming that's Hope and her brother, which we heard mentioned. Again, it's not bad. It's just not my cup of tea. And then the next page, page 10, it looks like, maybe. We see the zombie fight Starman just killing cops left and right. Again, it's a very dark. We do, you know, there's lots of red, the parts being ripped out. It's, again, not a bad book. It's just, yeah, it's just very dark and kind of muddy for me. And then we get another cop, Mason O'Dare, which is Hope's brother, who's a cop, as we heard mentioned. He's firing at him. And again, he, when the zombie Starman looks at him, he sees Will and Love. Again, Will is green. Love is purple for the Star Sapphires. And I like this pair at the bottom of page 11, underneath where we see what's his name? Matt Mason's aura or colors. We got a nice pose of Starman reaching out for him to grab him. And then we get Hope kind of doing like a flip and just filling him full of holes. Hello, handsome. that's a nice scene. It's colored nicely. Can see, you know, it's like very superheroic, you know. Hope, this beautiful woman's redhead's leaping into view. She's upside down, firing two guns. Not realistic, but very superhero-y. So I appreciate that. And then Hope's telling Mason, yeah, then here we find out, for sure it's her brother. She's like, Mason, get out of the way, dummy. When you turn into the tortoise, I'm ashamed to call you my brother. Almost. And then Starman looks at Hope and sees, you know, Hope, Will, Rage. And again, we see the colors of her, the spectrum across her. And then Starman talks about how, you know, she has some shame about who she shares her bed with. And he, you know, he says it's, she's a Shade's lover. And apparently her brother didn't know that. You're what? And I like the zombie Starman's like, the Shade's tawdry plaything. Little fool. Little slut. Do you honestly think he loves you? Give me your hearts. Because again, these are different than normal zombies. Normal zombies are trying to eat brains. These are going for people's hearts. And I hear the bosses. We get the Shade popping up off panel. He's like, I'm sorry, old fellow. The next page, again, a very nice splash page. Again, looks painted almost. Most of this book does. He continues on. He's like, but I'm glad to say that belongs to me. Apologies for the tardiness. I couldn't find my spats. And again, the Shade, if you're not familiar, he wears a tux, a top hat, very dapper, and what you would call. He makes a comment how he couldn't understand it, how he can't find his spats, how Hope's apartment is all tidy and all. And apparently the Shade's real name is Richard Swift, it looks like, because when he meets Starman, zombie Starman's like, Dickie Swift. And Hope's like, Dickie? I prefer Richard if it's all the same to you. And who am I speaking to? For all your banter, knowing this and that, I sense there's nothing of the real David Knight in you at all. And so like, that's why I get when I said earlier that I was kind of hesitant to say these are the actual people. That's our bodies, but it's just a black lantern ring pulling their memories from the essence of them, I guess, their core, whatever, and impersonating the person, if you will. Because, again, I'm not as familiar with the Shade is his powers, but apparently he has a sense of a person's being. And the David Starman here, he's like, I'm sure Jack won't be as suited as you. I'm sure he think he's talking with David until the moment I rip out his heart. As for you, I'm transpired by your transformation, Dickie, from villain to What is a UR now? Hero? No, I don't think so. And again, when he looks at the shade, all we see is will, just green, filled with will. And again, it's very. I love the way that the Black Lantern see things, not like we do, but they see it based on the emotional spectrum. And that was big in the Green Lantern books. That started around this time, and so this is just a continuation of that, and it's building off all of what I was Geoff Johns was doing for Green Lantern. And again, so we get some fun fight here, and as the zombie Starman blasts his car and blasts Hope around, the Shade, he gets love and hope and fear mixing up in him. And so he screams out, Hope! And she's like, still here, Dickie. He's like, I'm going to regret you learning my name, aren't I? Everyone, police, Opal police, into the shadow. And so apparently he has some sort of teleportation ability, kind of like Nightshade over at the Suicide Squad. Into a shadow dimension. And he's using that to try to save people, takes them to safety. And again, at this point, I keep saying I do. I love the way this is colored. Again, we see the Shade has will and love and rage at this point. And then we don't really see what happens. We get a close-up of Starman's face. And he's talking to David and... I'm not David. He's talking to Hope and Dickie, the Shade. And he's like, Hope, she makes you want to be a better man, eh, Dickie? But a man, good or bad, that I can't say for sure you're not. No, you've lost your humanity to the shadows. A man you are no more. And then we hear... Shrump. And on the next page, we see him standing there holding the Shade's heart. And he's like, so what use is your heart? And we see the Shade there on his knees, his chest ripped open where the zombie Starman pulled his heart out. And again, for not being a four-color superhero book, this is a very nice page also. Just, again, it's very moody. It's a lot of shadows, a lot of dark, heavy inks on it. Looks like it's probably about page 16. And then we get Hope on the side saying, Shade, with love and fear. Shade. And she sees the man that she loves dying, in quotes. Because we find on the next page, we get the Black Lantern ring approaching him.
Richard Swift of Earth, rot. Love. Richard Swift of Earth, rot.
Like it's cursing. He can get out and know his powers, but apparently he can bring himself back to life. Well, again, she did say earlier he was immortal. I saw him not aging, but he brought himself back to life with his heart ripped out. And I do like how the ring, because the Black Lantern rings are on the loose. Whenever someone dies, the Black Lantern's ring swoops in and brings him back as a Black Lantern. So I do like the Black Lantern came over to recruit the Shade, and it got confused, and it's like, Richard Swift, Earth Rock, Richard, what the hell? And then it just takes off. And like I talked about the synopsis here, this next page, we have the Shade kind of monologuing as his heart starts growing tendrils and enveloping the zombie Starman. And he yells, you know, be gone, husk. And we see just the body covered with vines, or not vines, but with tendrils from the heart vanish. And he tells Hope that the zombie Starman is alive in the Shadow Void. And that from what the Shadow Powers could tell him, that the creature's unbeatable. At least without costing more lives. And again, we end the story of them talking about their future together. Like I said, it was a great story. They're saying amidst of all this destruction. And I do like, yeah, the camera's pulling away from there as they're talking as the story ends. overall was a great story. Like I said, I'm still debating whether I'm going to cover the Starman book once I'm done with the book we're currently working on. We got a little lot to think about that. But I don't know. Anyways, what do you guys think? Do you guys want to hear me talk about the Starman later on? Did you guys enjoy this issue? Let me know what you think. You can write in, as usual, to smah@headspeaks.com. But as for my final thoughts for this issue, like I said, the artwork isn't the normal super artwork I'm looking for. But for the tone of the book, there was a few scenes that was kind of muddy just because of the darkness and the heavy inks. But overall, I enjoyed what we got. I thought it was a great addition to the crossover. I read this all. I'm not sure I read this book when it first came out. I may have skipped it because I wasn't reading Starman. But I thought that James Robinson, again, which was the writer for Starman, did a fantastic job with this title. He fitted in. And again, I can't, at this point, can't comment on how it fits in with the regular Starman series that ended by this point. But James Robinson did a great job tying this into the tie-in, into the crossover. I say that both Fernando Dagnino and Bill Zinkevich have problems saying his last name. And Matthew Hollingsworth on colorist. They did a great job. Made this book a very dark and spooky, in quotes, book. A great tie-in to The Blackest Night. So I'm going to go play some promos for some other people involved with the crossover, and we'll be right back.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Can I get a tall chai?
And a large black coffee.
And I suppose you're here with no agenda, as per usual?
On the contrary, I'm here for comics.
I think I can help all of you. Hello, I'm the caffeinated Clinton Robison, and I host a podcast called Coffee and Comics. On this podcast, I summarize, review, and discuss comic book issues, stories, and related media, usually in the span of time it takes to have a cup of coffee. Sometimes I'm joined by a guest, and sometimes I'm flying solo. So pour the coffee, take a sip, and turn up the volume as you listen to the Coffee and Comics Podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and directly on coffeeandcomicspodcast.blogspot.com. And remember, this is where the comics are never too old, and the coffee is never too cold.
Doom Patrol.
1963.
Doom Patrol debut.
My Greatest Adventure, issue 80. 1964.
My Greatest Adventure renamed Doom Patrol.
Issue 85. 1968.
Doom Patrol destroyed.
Issue 121. 1976.
The new Doom Patrol.
Showcase 94. 1987.
Doom Patrol Volume 2.
Coverberg Lytle. 1989.
Morrison and Case.
Issue 19. 1993.
Pollack.
Issue 64. 2001.
Doom Patrol Volume 3.
Arcudi Hewitt. 2004.
Doom Patrol Volume 4.
Burn.
Shush.
2009.
Doom Patrol Volume 5.
Giffen Clark. 2012. 2013. 2014. 2015. 2016.
Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast, because we're waiting.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
To tell you the story of Green Lantern is to tell you the story of the birth of a universe. The origins of DC as a whole.
It's a magic emerald meteor from space in the 1940s.
It's the establishment of the JSA.
It's the birth of the Silver Age.
It's the introduction of a universal police force.
It's the formation of the JLA.
It's the emergence of the multiverse.
It's a crisis in both space and time.
It's an emerald dawn.
And it's an emerald twilight.
It's the brightest day.
And the blackest night.
And the Lantern Cast covers all of this and everything in between. We're Green Lantern's greatest advocates and fiercest critics. We've been fans for years, and it's the reason we're self-proclaimed Lanternologists.
So find us on iTunes and Stitcher and give us a listen. Because the history of Green Lantern really is the history of the DC Universe. And we've got the interviews, commentaries, reviews, and more to back it up.
Welcome back. And now we're going to look at Copy Comics Comic Rack. And yes, even though we're in 2010, story-wise, we are still going to have Copy Comics Spinner Rack. Or Comic Rack. I change the name all the time. Anyways, these were the books that were on sale January of 2010. A quick little backstory. By this time, I had stopped buying comics due to money. I'd moved to another town with the family. I'd got remarried. We moved away to another town. I didn't have access to my regular comic shop. And money was a little tight, so I had stopped buying comics by this point. I was still reading a lot of these online, finding different places to read them. But yeah, I wasn't buying them. So I'm going to go read through and see what was out this month. We're going to start with Action Comics 885. And Adventure Comics, number 6. And again, as usual, if you want more on Superman at this time frame, this is probably going to be near the end. They haven't gotten this far yet. But the From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast. This will probably be the last area where they're covering there. Action Comics, this was a storyline called World Against Superman. And there was a backup feature with Captain Atom. And the Adventure Comics was, it looks like it was a Superboy and Crypto story. Written by Jeff Johns. I wonder if I read these or not. I know I read the Action Comics one. I'm not sure about the Venture Comics. Moving on from there, we have Amazing Spider-Man 617. This was a Rhino storyline. There were two stories. First one was called Rage of the Rhino. And the second story was called The Walk. I'm sure I read those. I just don't remember offhand what they were about. Other than the Rhino was involved. Let's take a look what else was on sale this month. And there were several variants for it. Also, there was Amazing Spider-Man 618. And looks like there was three Spider-Man issues out this month. There was Amazing Spider-Man 617, 18, and 19. 618 had Mysterio on the cover. And 619 had Spider-Man with blood dripping on him from his Spider-Man logo. The story title was called Reappearing Act. Okay, it looked like it was part of the Gauntlet storyline. I remember this, but I don't remember what it was about offhand. Moving on, there was Amazing Spider-Man Presents Jackpot number 1. This is where they were introducing a new character called Jackpot. And I remember they were trying to make you think it was Mary Jane at first, but it came out to be like a roommate of hers or something. Moving on from there, as usual, a bunch of Archie comics. Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 4, number 1. The Atom and Hawkman, number 46. This was part of the Blackest Night crossover. I'm sure I read that. I just don't remember offhand. Avengers vs. Atlas, number 1. Avengers Initiative, number 32. Some hardcovers. Azrael, number 4. Huh. Didn't realize we'd been around that long. Number 4, so they must have restarted it. Moving on from there, Batgirl number 6. This was, let me see real quick. I'm not sure which Batgirl this was. Oh, this was an. Oh, okay, this was a Stephanie Brown Batgirl at the time. Not sure. I vaguely remember that one. Batman 695, Batman Robin number 7, Batman Confidential number 40. The Batman Confidential had a cover by Sam Keith. The writer, story, and colors for that one was Sam Keith. Not a huge fan of Sam Keith. I enjoyed him on the Max, but I don't enjoy him on the Batman books or anything else. Moving on from there, there was a bunch of Batman trade paperbacks. Billy Batson and the Magic Shazam number 12. I think it was a 12-issue miniseries. It was more of a kid's book, it looks like. There was Blackest Night JSA number 2. Again, part of the Blackest Night crossover. Also, there was Blackest Night The Flash number 2. Blackest Night Wonder Woman number 2. Definitely, those were all part of the Blackest Night storyline. Definitely recommend. I'm sure someone's going to cover most of these on the crossover. Keep your eyes out for these. If I get links to our podcasts that are covering these, I will go ahead and post those on the website also. Booster Gold number 28. This was written by, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this was written by Dan Juergens. Dan Juergens. I read this storyline on this series online. It was a great story. I enjoyed Booster Gold, as I've talked about elsewhere. I love Dan Juergens. Brave and the Bold 31. This was a revamp of the book. This issue had the Atom and the Joker. Moving on from there, Cable 22, Captain America number 602, Captain America Reborn number 6. There was Catwoman 83. Moving on from there, Cinderella from Tabletown with Love. Those are some good storylines, are good comics. It basically took a look at all the fairy tale characters and put them in a new light. I'm not sure if I heard the Cinderella one. I think I did. They were pretty good. Moving on from there, we have, let's see here, Daredevil 504. Again, for more on Daredevil, check out the J. David Weider's Daredevil podcast. Dark Avengers number 13. I wasn't too big fan of that. Dark Reign Hawkeye number 5. Dark Wolverine number 82. Dark X-Men number 3. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the Marvel books at this time. I was kind of, if I'd still been buying, I may have started dropping some of those books. Just wasn't a fan. A bunch of Deadpool books. This is when Deadpool was popular. It still is, but this is probably during the height of his popularity. Detective Comics 861. Doom Patrol number 6. This was the Keith Giffen Doom Patrol. I don't remember reading this one, but I'm going to have to check this out. It looks interesting. We got a whole family of negative people, looks like, on it. Again, for more on the Doom Patrol, check out the Waiting for Doom podcast. Some great Australian hosts looking at the Doom Patrol books. Moving on from there, Fables number 92. Was when I think Fables was coming to an end. Fall of the Hulk's Prelude trade paperback. Then there was Fall of the Hulk's Red Hulk number 1. Again, not a huge fan of the Red Hulk. I thought they made him way too powerful and forced the issue to make him seem more powerful than he should have been. Fantastic Four 575. Again, Fantastic Four is usually a pretty good read. This was by Jonathan Hickman. Jonathan Hickman doesn't do a too bad job of writing normally. What else was there this month? Moving on, looking through the G's, nothing really to mention there. Again, a lot of books, but nothing that really strikes out at me. Green Arrow Black Canary number 28. Green Lantern number 1. Looks like it was a promo book. And there was Green Lantern number 50 was actually out, which was part of the Blackest Night storyline once again. The main cover of this had Parallax holding the Green Lantern ring. It's called Parallax storyline. It was called Parallax Rebirth. Let's see. Green Lantern Corps 44. Guardians of the Galaxy number 22. This is where the Guardians of the Galaxy from the movies came from. This was Dan Abnett who's a pretty good writer in his own right. Moving on from the Guardians of the Galaxy, we also had Hellblazer 263, Hulk number 19. This was during this time period. It looks like it was the Red Hulk was the star. Again, not a huge fan. It was written by Jeff Loeb. Art by Ed McGuinness. Not a huge fan of Ed McGuinness's artwork. Moving on from there, we have... I'm going to mention another trade paperback, Hulk Visionaries, Peter David. Peter David did a pretty darn good job. This is Volume 7 on the Hulk. I definitely recommend anything Peter David does. Incredible Hercules 140. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. Incredible Hulk 606. Again, Incredible Hulk. This was the Green Hulk. Looks like this was written by Greg Pak or Pak. Wasn't a bad storyline. Looks like there's a backup feature of She-Hulk in it this time. On the cover, looks like the Hulk's fighting Dr. Doom. I remember, sure, I read this, but I don't remember offhand. Iron Man number 22. Let's see real quick. There was Jack of Fables. That's another... that Vertigo, the Fairy Tales line that they were doing. Moving on from there, we had Jonah Hex 51, JSA All-Stars number 2, Justice League of America 141. This was being written by James Robinson. The title during James Robinson's time at my point was kind of hit or miss. He went for some of the not quite as known, well-known characters. And it wasn't bad, but this series had some problems, in my opinion. Justice League of America Special number 1. This is when they kind of rebooted the Justice League. Justice League Cry for Justice number 6. That's when they kind of messed up Roy and some other characters. And just Cry from Justice, where I remember, wasn't the greatest. Justice Society of America number 35. Kick-Ass number 8. Again, this is where the movie stuff came from. Let's see. There was Mighty Avengers number 33. That was okay. Ms. Marvel number 49. That was the Carol Danvers character before she became Captain Marvel. That's in the movies nowadays. Nation X number 2. Nation X X-Factor number 1. New Avengers 61. New Mutants number 9. Again, Nova 33. Again, not a huge fan of Marvel at this time. I've always been more of a DC guy, but yeah, this wasn't as good in my opinion. I just, Outsiders number 26, Phantom Stranger 42, Power Girl number 8, Power of the Green number 1. I don't remember that. That was from a DC promo. Power Shazam 48. This was part of the Blackest Night storyline. Let me see. Predator number 4. Predator had on and off books through Dark Horse. This is another one of their series. Punisher number 13. Punisher Max number 3. Punisher Get Castle number 1. Again, here it is 20 years later, I think it is, and Punisher's still a pretty popular character. He's got 3 different books at the time. Question 37, another Blackest Night crossover. Rebels number 12. Rebels was, that was R-E-B-E-L-S with periods, this was a the Legion book. I think I've talked about that before somewhere. I forget now, which is the L period, E period, G period, I period, O period, N period. This was a spinoff of that book where Vril's, Dox's son took over the Legion, and Dox and his friends were outlaws and they were calling themselves Rebels. It was okay. I enjoyed the Legion book better. And again, a lot of the books in here I wasn't a big fan of at this time period. Like I said, I'd stopped buying the comics because of money. But looking back at a lot of these, I wasn't a huge fan of a lot of these. I don't know. I don't know if it was just me or where I was at the time, or just the books in general weren't as great. Red Robin number 8. Red Tornado number 5. Savage Dragon number 156. That's a pretty long going title for Image. Secret 6 number 17. Part of the Blackest Night crossover. We're on Blackest Night. I cover Blackest Night 17 and 18 and also the Suicide Squad book over on my Task Force X podcast, which is also out this week. Secret Warriors number 12, back over at Marvel. Shadowhawk Chronicles trade paperback. That may be something I need to get. I enjoyed Shadowhawk at one time. Shield number 5, this was a DC book. I don't remember that one offhand. Siege 1 from Marvel Comics. Siege Prelude, a trade paperback. Siege Embedded. Siege Storming Asgard, Heroes and Villains, number 47. At this point, it was just like one crossover leading to another crossover, preparing to lead to another crossover. And I enjoy the occasional crossover, like the yearly type thing that DC used to do and Marvel used to do. But at this point, they were just wearing it to the bone. DC and Marvel both were guilty of that. Another reason I wasn't a huge fan of a lot of this. Spider-Man and the Secret Wars number 2. I don't recall that one offhand. Spider-Man 1602 number 4. Spider-Man Magazine number 9. Spider-Man Noir Eyes Without a Face number 2. Again, Spider-Man is really big at this point apparently. Let me see. Spider-Man the Clone Saga number 5. Spider-Woman number 5. Again, a lot of Spider-Man books out at this point. There were some Star Wars books. Didn't read any of them, but there was the Thrawn Trilogy hardcover. That would be interesting. Starman number 81. Part of the Blackest Night crossover. We talked about that. Oh, this episode. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Suicide Squad 67. That's the other book I covered over on Task Force X. Moving on from there, Supergirl 49. That was part of the, what was that called again? The World Against Superman story. Superman 696. Superman Batman 68. Superman Secret Origins number 4. Again, they didn't know what they were doing, so they threw him against the wall. Superman World of New Krypton number 11. Again, not a huge fan of this era of anything, really. Supernatural Beginnings End 1. This was like an origin story for Supernatural, sort of. Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, volume number 2, trade paperback. Teen Titans 79. This was Static Shock, or just, I guess the name was just Static, was becoming a part of the team, it looks like. A couple Thor books. Again, don't care much about Thor. Thunderbolts 140. Written by Jeff Parker. I don't remember. Oh, Dark Reign. So, yeah, this was probably, I think this was part of the time when I wasn't a big fan of what they were doing with Thunderbolts. Again, I'm a grumpy old man at this point. A lot of this, I don't remember this, I don't like this, don't care for that. Titans number 21 had Cyborg on the cover. Ultimate Enemy number 1. Don't remember that one offhand. Again, it was probably the Ultimate line. Ultimate Spider-Man number 6. This must have been the Miles Morales. No, that was still Peter Parker. The New World According to Peter Parker Part 6. So this was the revamped or restarted whatever Ultimate Spider-Man. Moving on from there, my son used to love the Ultimate Spider-Man book. Steve, I've talked about before, I believe. He really enjoyed the Ultimate Spider-Man run. Moving on from there, X-Men 520. Uncanny X-Men First Class number 7. Unknown Soldier number 16. Moving on from there, Walking Dead number 69. Never read the comics. Well, I read the trade paperbacks later on, but I stopped because I get confused what happened on the show and what happened in the comic. That's what happens when you get older. Web of Spider-Man number 4. Wildcats number 19. I'm sure that was a rebooted story because Wildcats been out for years. Wolverine Origins number 44. Several Wolverine titles at this point. Wonder Woman number 40. World's Finest number 4. X-Babies number 4. X-Factor 201. This had Dr. Doom on the cover. Looks like this was the multi... this one had been written by Peter David. This was a pretty good storyline, if I remember right. Or not storyline, but a good series. That's what I'm looking for. X-Force 23. That was like the X-Men doing dark covert ops and stuff, murdering people. X-Men Forever 15. and 16, X-Men Legacy 232, X-Men Origins Cyclops number 1, and really that's about it. Like I say, not a lot of titles I can really say I really enjoyed in this time period. Like I've talked about, this was the time kind of when I was kind of, due to money, I had gotten mostly out of comics, at least buying them. I was reading a lot of them online or getting them other places, trade paperbacks in the library. And this time period was, I think I've talked about it before, it's kind of a low period for me in comics. It just wasn't, as Shag, the Irredeemable Shag says, find your joy, wasn't this time period for the most part. Other than the Blackest Night crossover at DC, that was enjoyable. That's why I'm part of the crossover. Not a lot to really brag about at this point, in my opinion. But enough about that. Let's go move on to the next section where I'm going to talk about the other books part of Blackest Night. If you enjoyed what you heard so far, if you want to know more about the Blackest Night, if you want to follow us along, next week you can join us over on Head Speaks. Try another one of my podcasts involved, where I look at Blackest Night number 4. After that, you can join over on Coffee and Comics Podcast for Blackest Night number 5. And then our buddy Pat Sampson and his group over the Long Box Crusade, they take a look at Blackest Night number 6. And then we're going to wrap this whole thing up with the Lantern Cast. They're looking at Green Lantern number 52 and also Blackest Night number 7 and 8. The Lantern Cast is one of the guys that are in charge of the JLMA this year. So they're wrapping it up in their podcast. Definitely go over and look for these other podcasts. Check out the podcatchers. I'm sure if you do a keyword search for Blackest Night, you may find some more. Check out our different blogs. We'll have, depends on who it is, we'll have different links to different podcasts or different notes on it. Whatever I get, I'll post for you guys to check out. But definitely, if you enjoyed this, definitely let me know what you think. Either this episode or any of my episodes, definitely send me an email to smah at headspeaks.com, or you can leave us feedback. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave me a rating over there, leave me your thoughts. I'll read that on the air. I love hearing from people. And speaking of emails, I did get one email as I'm finishing up this episode. An email came in from a friend of the show, Professor Allen. Professor Allen has his own podcasting empire over at the Relatively Geeky Network. Him and his daughter, M, do some different podcasts. I definitely recommend you checking out the Relatively Geeky Network and check out what the professor is doing. He's also known as Professor Quarterbin because he likes buying comics for, well, a quarter. But let's go ahead and read the professor's email. He says, Brother Head, I have enjoyed your coverage of the Saints and Sinners storylines in Manhunter. I picked these issues up for cheap a while back and have talked about them on the Comics Reading Journal episodes as I followed along with your coverage. Again, Comics Reading Journal is one of his great podcasts. This is back to his letter. I thought that issue 23, the last official Saints and Sinners issue, was a nice way to bring everything to a close. I know there's one more issue, an epilogue, but I don't have that issue, and I'm okay with that. I'm satisfied with the way this one wrapped it all up. Continue off the next Manhunter, that's my vote. Enjoy the show and keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much, Professor Allen. Again, hearing such lofty praises from you means a lot to me. I enjoy your shows when I listen to them, and I think you're one of the podcasting greats. So hearing you, having you write into my show and give me the praise, it means a lot to me. That's all the email I've got. Before I close out, though, definitely go to relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. And check out the professor's great shows, or you can look on, again, I know they're on Apple Podcasts, it's on Apple Podcasts, because that's where I'm listening to him at. He's got some great shows on there. He's got his Quarterbin podcast, amongst many others, a Comics Reading Journal. Definitely check out the professor's shows. And once again, thank you very much, Professor, for writing in. I enjoyed hearing from you. And definitely, please, let me know what you think in the future. I'd love to hear more from you. And the same goes for all you guys. Definitely, let me know what you guys think. I love hearing from people. I love knowing I'm not shouting to the ether. I'd still do it just because I'm addicted. But it helps knowing there's people that are listening and enjoying this. So definitely let me know. And I don't want people just, you know, saying it's a great show and they hate it. Let me know what you think. If you don't like it, let me know what you think I could do better. I'm definitely looking for ways, even, you know, 25 episodes in on this one, I'm still looking for ways to improve the show. So definitely check us out. Like I said, next week you can join us for Head Speaks. The following week you can check us out over on our G.I. Joe or Real American Headcast, where I'm looking at issue 26 of the G.I. Joe comic book series. And then the fourth week of the month for this month, we are doing Bravo Team. So check us out and let me know what you guys think. Until next time,
Star Hunters, keep looking to the stars.
Bye. Thank you for listening to another great episode of the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour. Please join us next month for another great, fantastic episode as we cover another issue of Will Payton's Starman series and the Mark Shaw Manhunter series. Keep in mind that these podcasts are not affiliated or endorsed by DC Comics. I'm just a fanboy who loves these comics and wants to spread these love with everyone else out there and just talk about them. Again, you can email us at smah@headspeaks.com. Or you can go to our blog, which is at starman-manhunter.headspeaks.com. You can also go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/starman-manhunter-adventure-hour. No spaces, all one word. But once again, thank you very much for joining us. Until next episode, this is Aaron Moss saying, see you in the funny pages.